Welcome back to Team Talk. It is Tuesday, so we will do a modified version of True or False Tuesday, and we'll do that in the last segment of this hour. So about 5:40, 5:45-ish, we've got some prize packs. We'll tell you about them here in a little bit, and it's going to be open to anybody that has not won a prize pack in 2024. So there's a lot of you out there that would like to win this prize pack. Take my word for it. Take my word that you're going to love this top five. By the way, any of these segments that we have here, Kurt Roth, the coaches that win state championships, top five, go to 1017theteam.com, 1017theteam.com. These segments are often archived, and one thing that is always archived is the top five. Will you take it away, Sam Hauser?
It's time for the Hinkle Law Office's Top 5. Hinkle Law Office is representing motorcycle riders across New Mexico since 1990. Visit HinkleLawOffices.com. Take it away, Sam Hauser.
All right, so getting us started today with who's in, who's out. That's always number 5, and who's in is always up first. And we start with some low-key big news coming out of the Metroplex today for the Dallas Cowboys, and I will explain why here in a second, because on paper, might not seem like that big a deal, but this is somebody that they want to keep in the building, and we're able to do so. As we wait for the Cowboys to decide whether or not they're going to spend in free agency, one thing that has happened in the last few hours, according to head coach Mike McCarthy, Al Harris has been retained and promoted to assistant head coach, along with his regular duties as a defensive backs coach. Al Harris, the name. And the reason that this is significant is because when former defensive coordinator Dan Quinn took the job in Washington, the assumption was that one of the first people that he was going to try to pluck away from Dallas was Al Harris. This is one of the most respected people in the building, in that entire organization for the Dallas Cowboys. Somebody who's believed to be, so he could have a chance to, at the head coaching cycles in the next couple of years. He's a great leader. Everybody speaks very highly of him. So the fact that he is staying is good news for the Cowboys.
So no activity with regard to players, but a good news if you're a Cowboy fan when it comes to coaching. What else is in, Sammy?
All right, what else is in? Well, some money bags for Kalen DeBoer in the new head coach at Alabama. The meteoric rise for Kalen DeBoer, going from Fresno State and coaching against the Lobos to coaching in a college football playoff national championship game to now taking over for Nick Saban.
No kidding.
At the University of Alabama. The university releasing details of his contract on Monday. 8 years, $87 million for Kalen DeBoer, and that includes $10 million in his first season with an annual escalator that would take it up to $11.75 million in the final year of that deal. So, going to make $10 this year. For context, Nick Saban was going to make $11.5 million, so not that far off from what Nick Saban was going to make this year.
Do you think he's going to be ticked off because he's not going to make as much as Nick? I'm just kidding. I mean, $10 million to $11.5 million in his final year. How does that compare to what he was getting when he was in the old Mountain West, up there with the Bulldogs up in Fresno there, Sam?
Well, that's really the context of all this and why I'm sure he's jumping for joy with this contract. So when Kalen DeBoer signed his deal at Fresno State going into the 2020 season, it was a five-year contract worth $7 million total. So he's going to make more this year than he would have in the lifetime of that entire Fresno State contract. Again, this is somebody who was coaching against the Lobos a few years ago and now is Nick Saban's successor at Alabama. What a time to be Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, and Alabama doesn't fiddle around when they're looking to pay a guy. They want longevity. They don't want him to be in a situation where somebody's knocking and they got to keep an eye on things. That, you know, he's at Alabama.
This isn't a stepping stone job.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, it's not you go to Alabama, no matter, even if you're at Washington and you got to, it's not a lateral move. It's a big time move, and he's making big time moves. Money. All right, what else there, Sammy?
All right, well, the Giants are spending some money today. The San Francisco Giants, in the world of Major League Baseball, of course, Dodgers division rival there in the NL West. Giants landing left-handed starter and reigning NL Cy Young winner Blake Snell, 2 years, $62 million with an opt-out this winter. So you're not breaking the bank. You're not giving him a long-term deal. If it doesn't work, you can part ways. But you got a guy who's the reigning Cy Young Award winner on a staff that certainly needs some help.
The Dodgers are like, please go to another division. Go to another league.
Nope.
Because he's with the Padres, and now he's with the dreaded Giants. And how about the Giants opening up their pocketbook a little bit? They're kind of usually a little bit close to the vest.
Well, they took a lot of heat for losing the bidding war for Shohei, so they had to do something big. And this at least counts towards something close to being big.
All right, well, who's out there, Sammy?
All right, well, who's out? By the way, a reminder, about 11 hours from now, Dodgers baseball here on 101.7 The Team, 4 a.m. Mountain Time first pitch tomorrow against the Padres. The Dodgers in Seoul, South Korea, playing the Padres, 4 a.m. first pitch here on 101.7 The Team.
And just to remind people, two games over there that are regular, that count for the regular season, even though they come back and play more spring training
games.
That's right. Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure everybody knew, to make sure they set their alarms. 4 a.m. All right. What's number four, Sammy?
All right. Well, we got to get to who's out here first.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Big East. I mean, cry me a river already. Somebody go send a box of tissues to the Big East League office. I'm done with this already. The Big East making a national case about the fact that they only got three teams in. It's this travesty. It's this sacrilegious move against college basketball. These injustices to only get three teams from the Big East in the NCAA tournament. The Big East put out a statement. Rick Pitino has put out things on Twitter. You got people who run Big East Twitter accounts saying, oh, well, the Mountain West should come play the Big East next year, and we'll see who's better. Shh, just enough.
I'm just waiting for, even though we heard Coach Richard Pitino often talk about how the Mountain West was kind of like the Big East of the West. What I want is those Big East coaches to come clean and say the Big East is kind of like the Mountain West. How about that, Sam?
I like it.
What's number four?
I would pay Danny Hurley just to hear him say it. I would take care of
Shaka
that.
Shaka Smart? Of course. I love to hear Shaka Smart at Marquette say that. All right.
Well,
I just like to say Shaka Smart.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's March up in here. It's NCAA tournament time. Shaka Smart. Well, speaking of the NCAA tournament, it is officially underway, whether you think it starts now or it starts on Thursday. The first four games are underway. First one going on right now. Late in the first half, the couple of 16 seeds trying to get in. Wagner with the 23-12 lead over Howard. So, you know, we like to do a little bit of education, tell you where everybody came from and how they got here along the way. So take a quick look at these two teams now that they're in the tournament. Wagner, winners of the Northeast Conference tournament as a 6 seed, just like the Lobos, but they had a sub-500 record in the regular season. So if they lost that conference championship game, I mean, they would have been borderline eligible for anything, but they win the tournament as a 6 seed.
They weren't going to do anything.
Okay,
I mean, I know there's like five, the CBI and the this.
Well, I was thinking
Wagner was toast.
Well, they both were. I was thinking in my head, I was thinking, because you have to have a above 500 record to even be eligible for these tournaments, and they got there thanks to the conference tourney. Beat the number 1 seed in the semifinals, the number 2 in the championship game. Just the second all-time appearance in the NCAA for Wagner. As for Howard, winners of the MEAC, they also beat a 1 seed in the semifinal, Norfolk State. Beat the 6 seed Delaware State in the conference championship game. Howard making its second appearance in a row and 4th overall. The winner of this game will play number 1 seed North Carolina on Friday.
All right, anything else going on in number 4?
Well, the game after this one is one that we are all very interested in, and I'm sure people around the country are going to be interested in. These are two recognizable brand names in college basketball. A little after 7 o'clock tonight in Dayton, Colorado State and Virginia, couple of 10 seeds, and Colorado State, I mean, the one thing that Colorado State has going for it in a game like this against Virginia is they, too, play at a slow enough pace where they can be patient and understand the importance of every possession. They can go at that pace with Tony Bennett and the Virginia Cavaliers.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, like CSU played Air Force their last regular season game and pulled away and won by, I think, like 20 or something like that. That's kind of the what you're going to get with Virginia, but Virginia's got like high school Americans on that team playing system. I look at it as like two outstanding coaches, Nico Medved for Colorado State, and who he called maybe the best coach in the country. Medved called Tony Bennett of Virginia maybe the best coach in the country. Yeah, certainly the tournament is on, and it's here already going, as you mentioned there, Sammy. Anything else going on? What's number three?
Yeah, we can go on to number three. Colorado State, a 2.5-point favorite over Virginia in this one, by the way. Well, the highlight of the night last night, coming from a place that is not a basketball powerhouse, although they have been this year, the Minnesota Timberwolves putting on a show in the NBA's Western Conference, and Anthony Edwards putting the cape on last night for the Timberwolves, the former number one overall pick out of the University of Georgia, dunking right through John Collins' soul last night.
Nikhil reached in on Keontae George and turned him over. It's another Keontae George turnover. And goes up for the dunk, and Thunder slams it in traffic over John Collins. And Ant may have hurt his left hand. He comes right to the bench. That was sick. He took off, launching himself to the iron. What a slam by Anthony Edwards.
So a few things here, because one, it was a great call, but the audio doesn't do it justice. I mean, that was a poster of poster dunks. He sent John Collins flying to the floor. And the best part of the video, first off, the look on John Collins' face when Anthony Edwards is flying at him, like, looks like somebody had fear in his eyes. And then he gets knocked over, and because what else are you going to do? He sits there for a second, John Collins, and he puts his hands in his face because he knows that he just got tossed around this schoolyard. And you heard there on the end, Anthony Edwards injured himself. He did, in fact, dislocate his middle finger on that dunk, so he's questionable for this game tonight against the Denver Nuggets that we'll have here 7 o'clock on 101.7 The Team. But the only thing better than that dunk was Anthony Edwards being shown the highlight of the dunk on the Wolves TV postgame show.
Nikhil reached.
Best dunk of my career, but also just that noise. Right where he makes contact with John Collins.
Yeah, and John Collins, I mean, he took it in stride, Sam. He knew he had just gotten posterized. But if you're in that league long enough, I think everybody gets posterized at one time
probably,
or another. I mean, John Starks was dunking on, I think, Michael Jordan one time. So, I mean, they've all even gotten posterized.
It's going to be hard to posterize Wemby, though.
Oh, man, I got a little bit of glimpse of him the other night on NBA TV. They were hosting the Nets, and I got a taste of Wemby. He's going to be fun for years to come. What's number two there, Sammy?
All right, back to college basketball. The All-American honors released earlier today, and Jaden Ledee of San Diego State named a third-team All-American, leading that group of third-teamers. In fact, very, very close in the point system, the way that they do these, you know, first team, second team, third team, there's different point values for each. Jaden Ledee right on the cusp of being named a second team All-American, but still third team there for Jaden Ledee. And it's so amazing. I mean, of course, we know what he's done this year as a scorer. He's elevated his game. He's become this go-to guy. Even with this season that Jaden Ledee has had this year, his career average is still 8.5 points a game.
Well,
with over 20 plus a game this year.
That's what happens when you play for San Diego State your whole career, too. You know, like, a lot of guys go there to hone their defensive skills, and somehow Coach Dutcher gets them all to buy in. They come play 4 or 5 minutes at a time, and they're rotating in and out. But a team player, congratulations to him. Let's hear, like, who else were All-American.
Yeah, Jaden Ledee, a great example of what the positive that the transfer portal can do. Somebody who played at Ohio State, TCU, nothing there, and he found his legs there at San Diego State. So as we go through, we'll go through the first team here. Good mix of guys who are homegrown talent, only played for one school, guys who started small schools and made it big time. Good balance here throughout. So the first team is, of course, Zach Edey, the big man at Purdue, number one seed. Dalton Knecht at Tennessee, one of the players that I'm most looking forward to watching this entire NCAA tournament. Duke can ball. He can shoot from anywhere. Came from Northern Colorado, of all places, and he's a star at Tennessee, Dalton Knecht. RJ Davis, 4 years at North Carolina, which feels like a very weird thing to say. Somebody played 4 years at North Carolina.
Jerry Stackhouse, Vince Carter. I mean, you don't hear those names very
and
often.
And now RJ Davis.
Maybe those guys didn't even play. Who is the center for North Carolina? The big man for North Carolina has been there. I'm so sorry that I just threw this at you. But it's unusual to see a guy that was on that national championship team.
Armando Bacot.
Yeah, Bacot. That's the one.
Armando Bacot's still hanging around there as well. So far we got Zach Edey, Dalton Knecht, RJ Davis, Jamal Shedd from Houston, also a 4-year player there for the Houston Cougars. He's going to be really fun to watch too. And then Tristan Newton over at UConn, second year with the Huskies after 3 years at Eastern Carolina. He was a Purple Pirate. And now found his way to UConn.
Yeah, we got to move on. But I know I'm looking at these first, second, and third team. We know the schools that they're at now. But I'm seeing Northern Colorado transfer on the first team, Eastern Carolina transfer on the first team. On the second team, we've got a George Mason transfer. We've got a University of Ohio transfer. I mean, it goes to show you that everybody doesn't always nail these guys coming out of high school, and they go somewhere and they are able to show their skill set, and that's what the transfer portal is all about.
The biggest one probably for that would be on the third team, Baylor Shireman, who's playing at Creighton now. Started his career at South Dakota State. He was a Jackrabbit, tore it up there, ended up at Creighton, and he's a third team All-American as well.
And another guy that was on the third team at Morehead State.
Yeah, Johnny Broom playing at Auburn.
Johnny Broom. All right, what's number one, Sammy?
Well, this ACC legal battle is still going, and it got new life this morning with Clemson getting into the mix along with Florida State. So just to quickly go back to the beginning to reset this, in case you're not familiar with this story, going back to the late stages of last college football season was really when this started getting going. Florida State, among a handful of ACC schools who are not happy with the ACC falling as far behind as it has as far as dollar values, as far as TV contracts when compared to the SEC, when compared to the Big Ten, the ACC schools not happy, feeling like they're playing second fiddle. So schools want to try to have the opportunity to jump ship and go to one of those bigger conferences. But the ACC, from their side of things, they covered their own rear end a few years ago when they got everybody to sign a grant of rights contract, which basically says we control your media rights until the end of this deal, which goes through 2036. So it's this whole legal battle. It would cost schools at least $140 million to get out of it. They're going to the court saying that that number is unreasonable. The ACC is saying, no, we need that to protect ourselves for lost value when these schools try to leave.
Yeah, and the lead dog in that was Florida State. Now and as expected, Clemson is kind of sniffing around there. How about this being a distraction for the entire athletic department at Clemson with all this swirling around, and they're trying to play an NCAA tournament game on Friday afternoon at 1. You know, any likelihood of that? Probably not,
well,
Sam.
I mean, probably not, but you could go back to, and of course it was because they had so many guys that didn't play, but Florida State football playing in a New Year's Six Bowl and desecrating it by getting shut out 9,000-0 to Georgia. So, maybe Clemson will be a little bit distracted.
All right. Well, we got True or False Tuesday coming up a little later in the show. When we come back, under the radar, the Mountain West Conference has named their 25th anniversary team. There's three Lobos on the anniversary team. I'm going to let you guys out there, you guys and gals out there, digest it. Remember, the conference started in 2019. They're just celebrating 25 years.
1999.
Yeah, 1999. Excuse me. What did I say?
2019.
19. Just barely off there. A couple years.
Yeah.
Okay. So it started in 1999. And they're celebrating their 25th anniversary, and they named their anniversary team. All right, three Lobos on the team. I know you can look it up on your phone, but try to think it through and see how close you come, because when we come back, we're going to go through those three Lobos as well as the rest of the players on this team, and it's going to bring back names I think a lot of you will remember. But three Lobos, see if you get it right. We'll tell you who it is when we come back. Team Talk, Joe O'Neill, Sam Houser, ESPN Radio 101.7, The Team.